Welcome back to Plot Pit. William Atkinson here in studio with
John LeMay.
And we have Susan Catt on the phone, owner of Oracle Book Art and PA Services LLC. Hello, Susan. How are you today?
Hi. How are you guys?
Great.
How's your day going so far?
Yeah. Nice rainy day here in Roswell, which is rare.
Very rare.
Sunny and beautiful here.
Oh, Colorado's gorgeous, I hear, this time of year.
It is right now, yes.
I did not mean for that to rhyme, but John, sometimes it just happens.
Yeah, it's great.
Okay, excellent. So last week we had Richard Polinelli on the phone with Tuscany Bay Books, and Susan, you were brought up as their marketing guru, so we thought we would bring you in on the show and talk a little bit about what you do in the industry. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you.
And let's begin the descent. Introduce yourself to our listeners. I'm jumping all over my tongue today.
Well, as everyone has heard, my name is Susan Catt. I started Oracle Book Art and PA Services LLC back in 2020. I've been a graphic designer and a magazine manager in the past. Worked for a printing press for about 4 years, so I wanted to take the book industry and apply my talents to it, and started out authoring and trying to write books, and did a few, and learned how to format and, you know, some of the skills that you need to learn if you're going to be an indie author anyway to get your books published. And in that, I got really excited and decided that maybe I should make a business out of it. So jumped in, picked up a couple of people. One of my first authors was Justina Luther, who you've had on your show. Another of my early authors is Jessie Bond, and I've done a lot of book covers for her, and mostly started tailoring the business into a social media marketing platform. So I mostly work with Facebook, MeWe, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Reddit, or I'm not even sure how that you say that, Reddit, and BookBub, Goodreads, you know, all of those. And so I started making art for the ads and creating mock-ups, and before long, I was in business.
You've done a lot of work on social media then. When did you actually get started with the talent set of social media? Was it something that you've only learned here in the last couple of years, or did you have this coming in from the time that you were actually working in the industry prior to starting Oracle Book Art?
I had the skill sets. I had taken a hiatus from doing graphic design and or any kind of marketing for several years. I started out years and years ago as a professional horse trainer, and ended up doing all my marketing for that. And that's when I went to school and learned graphic design and marketing skills so that I could promote that business, and did really well with it. Then I moved on into the printing business for a few years, and from there retired as a horse trainer and went into massage therapy. So I ended up using those same skills to promote that business. And then, like I said, took a little hiatus from it. And then when I decided I wanted I've been wanting to write most of my life, but I decided to sit down and start writing in 2017 and re-educate myself how to apply these skills into the author industry. And by 2020 had formally started the business.
Yeah, I agree. Formatting is a lot of fun, especially design. That was actually my least favorite thing about having a publisher, was that they formatted it for me and they designed the cover for me, because I wanted to do those things. And now I do, and I'm so happy that way.
Right. I'll be honest with you. It's my passion. I can spend days on end, 10, 12 hours a day, just doing the creative end of it, you know, the creating the book, you know, the covers, and then the art to promote those covers, and looking at, you know, design elements that will draw people and hold them on the subject. One of the things that I run into with social media, Facebook is a great example, is you go into a group, excuse me, and you see a post and a photograph, and you stop for a minute, you look at it, and the next day you come back and you see the post and the photo, and you kind of look at it. Third day, you come back, you see it, and now you're scrolling past. And you're just like, okay, I've seen that, I'm done with it, and you move on. And pretty soon, the advertising that people are putting a lot of effort into is not grabbing the attention of the viewers. So I've tried to go in and create different pieces of art and different write-ups so that when I hit a group, it's fresh and new. And the elements that I put in piece of art, sometimes I've had some of my authors go, why did you add that? Or why can't we put this in? And I'm going, well, the point was to, as the viewers come across your post, is to stop and try to figure out what's going on. That keeps them there, keeps them looking at your book, your write-up, and maybe they'll stay there long enough to click a link through. So I try to use strategy in my posting, and so far it's worked really well. I've been able to assist a few authors now into bestseller ranks using the system that I have with strictly social media posting. So, you know, it seems to be working, and I'm continuously tweaking and, you know, developing my strategies as I go along.
The way that you describe that, it sounds as though you're taking elements of, say, an Agatha Christie murder mystery type thing and tagging it into the design. Not that you're doing murder mystery stuff necessarily, but you mentioned trying to keep them there to figure out what's going on, right? Well, that's a detective novel.
Exactly.
That's really cool.
Right. And I do work with all genres. So, yeah, I've done some mystery, cozy mysteries and that sort of thing. And that's what keeps it so fun and interesting is when you go from like sci-fi to, you know, like a paranormal romance or, you know, a cozy mystery or something. And you have to think in terms of how that appears and feels to the viewer. You know, somebody looking for a cozy mystery, there's a sensation or a feel that comes off of the presentation that is reminiscent of mystery. And so be able to capture that and not just go with the font that is right for mystery or the photograph that's right for romance. You want the elements that people are looking for that are consistent throughout the industry to be there, but what can you do with those elements to make a person take a second look and go, what's going on here? That's kind of what I try to do.
Well, tell me if you agree with this analogy. I kind of just came up with it. So I feel like it's kind of like being an interior decorator, which is a funny thing for a guy to say. But so the way I look at it is it's like the author, they built the house. They did all of the really hard long-term work. Then the editor came along and they really polished it up and made everything perfect like it should be. But then as like, let's say the layout person and the cover designer, you know, the one who's picking out the font, the trim size, the structure, it's kind of like you get to decorate it and make it look pretty and eye-catching. And so it's like you get to just do the fun stuff. Is that how you kind of feel too?
This is true.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's how I feel.
And I love working. I really love working with the authors. I'm working with one right now. He's a poet, very young writer, just getting started, just learning his ropes, and has been scared to death of the design formatting, you know, aspect of it. We worked on a cover last night, and you know, he gives me his ideas, and then I run, maybe he might even throw a piece of art at me, and I run with that and create a mock-up, and then I bring it back to him, and he starts suggesting, well, could we go a little different color on the font? Can we, you know, do this with the image? And I'll go back and tweak those things and bring it back. And we may do that for an hour or two, back and forth. And it's such a good time. And when we get done, he has a cover now that is consistent with his vision of what's inside that book. And for him, being a poet, is a very emotional experience. So it was important to him that that emotion was conveyed on the cover. And I think we did a really nice job of it. And we're going to be adding some images to the inside as well. And very soon we'll be publishing, probably with Ingram Sparks, I think.
So excellent. With all of that said, coming off of last week's episode with Richard Polinelli, we talked a little bit about how, John, you like to do the graphic design and layout and do all of that type of stuff. And you've mentioned, Susan, that you've got a passion for that. Where did that passion begin to originate?
Probably I had as a child, as a baby, maybe. You know, I grew up drawing, and my brother used to draw, when he was like 9 or 10, used to draw images of Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck that were exact to the advertising of the time, the art that was out there. And, you know, he could look at them and walk away and then draw them, and you'd think they were done by the original artist, you know. So we had talent in our family. My aunt was an artist. So I grew up drawing. My dad built homes and drew all his plans, and he had talent as well. So, and I actually had an art name for myself for a while in my teens and early 20s, and then decided to get back into training horses, and that took off. So art took us the sidelines. So I would have to say it stems all the way back to my childhood, my love for creative processes. And I can get excited about, you know, the building, you know, of a saddle, or even the construction of an RV or a house. I see the creative elements that are going in, and, you know, I've watched a house be constructed where the studs weren't plumb, and that just really drove me crazy. Then I've seen another one built that was just, you know, phenomenally put together. And so for me, what I'm doing right now is just one creative aspect of many that I could be involved in. I think studying genetics is a creative process. And although it doesn't show up on a wall in a painting or in a book to read it necessarily, it's still the knowledge. And if someone were to breed animals or whatever, that whole process is a creative one in my mind. So I guess I'm just a creative person who loves design, loves the elements that come together and how they come together.
So I've got two different tangents to go down. Real quick, I just want to say, I think a lot of artistic people, you know, when I was little, I could draw very well. And if I had cultivated that as opposed to writing, I think I could be an artist right now. So I think artistic mm-hmm. people are capable of lots of different things. And it's just a matter of what you cultivate. But what I meant to really harp on, though, is you keep talking about horse training. So my favorite author, she lives in Oklahoma. And she's not really a horse trainer, but I think a lot of listeners and you as well will know Susie Hinton, who wrote The Outsiders and Tex. Basically,
right,
yeah,
right.
The most famous young adult author for many years. I know she loves horses. And like I said, I don't think she's a trainer, but she used to ride. And I was just curious if you'd ever met her, since you're both in the author field and into horses. I was just curious.
No, I had not. I'm a bit of a private person. I'll just draw a little picture. I live in an RV on the back of a property in a grove of trees with two horses, a dog, and eventually some chickens. And it's a wonderful lifestyle. Absolutely love it. Been on this property for 4 years. Don't plan on leaving. So I tend to be pretty to myself. I don't necessarily, you know, reach out too much. If someone contacts me, I'm very friendly and open and you know, available, but I don't necessarily do the reaching out.
So to that, with your business, right, being part of the public vision for, you know, an author specifically, because we're in that industry here, you know, the publicist aspect of this, and you being a private person, I think one of the things that a lot of introverts, such as myself, experience is an absolute emotional energy drain when constantly,
yes,
you know, promoting or being a public figure or out there or such. And the question really is, do you experience, you know, that sort of taxing emotional, the emotional taxing of that?
Very much, very much.
So with you agreeing to that, what do you do to combat or to recharge?
I need my quiet time. So I basically, what I've set up here for my lifestyle is how I recharge. I enjoy the people when I'm out and about. I mean, I go to lunch with my author friends, you know, and you know, hang out with my horse friends and like anyone else. But when I've been overwhelmed, I come home, everything is peaceful and quiet, and I just spend a day doing my lifestyle. And I'm in a position where I'm able to do that. Some people can't take a day off, you know, to recharge themselves. But I do. I go out and groom my horses, clean up after them, put them out in the back and watch them graze and sit back and listen to one of your podcasts or something like that. And that's pretty much how I recharge.
Excellent. Now, to that end, imagine some of our listeners, our author friends on this side of the equation, would be very interested in understanding a little bit more about how to promote themselves on social media. And last week I asked Richard Polinelli this particular question, you know, how do you promote a book out on Twitter? And his exact words were, don't be obnoxious about it, which I had kind of a chuckle too, because yeah, you know, I've seen some obnoxious behavior on Twitter, and I'd like to think that we don't do that ourselves. But as a publicist, right, how do you coach somebody that's an aspiring author or a budding author or maybe even an experienced one on engaging in social media?
I am going to use Facebook as an example because it's very clear. If the author wants to use social media and wants to get on Facebook, the ideal way to promote themselves is to take out ads for themselves, and that reaches people, you know, across a large area that are interested in what you're advertising. On the other hand, if you're going to use groups, you need to understand that Facebook has in place bots that are looking for the repeat of certain images, repeat of certain write-ups, that sort of thing. And if you're trying really hard, and so many new people try so hard, and they want to get in as many groups as they can when they're posting, and many of them put themselves in Facebook jail and because they just overpost and they push and they shove to the point Facebook puts them, you know, they get 14 days off. So what I try to explain to them is go through and look for groups that, you know, you can target. Try to get 30, 40, 50 groups in the list and pick each day, pick 10 and post in those 10. And when you do post, you know, interesting material about your book, quotes out of it, maybe something about the environment or an activity or action or event or whatever is going on. It only needs to be like one sentence, you know, two sentences. You don't need to tell the whole story. You don't always need the blurb. It's nice to have it in there. You don't always need that. What you need is something interesting that will stop the viewer and not have people annoyed at seeing the same thing over and over and over again. If you're going to interact, be positive. If somebody says something that you disagree with or has an opinion about your cover or something, just say thank you and move on. If you have people coming on trying to sell you services, unless you're interested in those services, don't respond. Just leave them. It's okay for them to advertise themselves. But if you get into a conversation, sometimes they go south, and that's just not good for you or your book. So that's my basic spiel. Twitter's a little different. You can pretty much post anything you want because you can only put a few words out at a time. And then again, it be positive. If somebody has a negative thing to say, just let it go and move on. The important thing is to keep a positive appearance to the public and be somebody that a reader would want to follow, want to hang out with, you know, want to, you know, read your next books or even help you promote them if you can get into a good conversation to develop a relationship with them. And that's the other thing. Do your best to develop relationships because that's where your teams come from, your launch team, your street teams to help you get your book out.
So I think we've only got a few more minutes before we divide our session into the next episode, but I thought maybe we could close on getting your take on, we're talking about obnoxiousness, and I've seen some pretty obnoxious authors in person, you know, as opposed to online when it comes to in-person book sales. And I don't necessarily mean like book signings in a bookstore where it's all about them. I'm talking about more along the lines of a marketplace or a convention where there's lots of authors. And there was one year where we had in Roswell, and I couldn't even remember the author's name, but I wouldn't say it anyways. And he wasn't a bad person, but he was very kind of pushy and what I would call obnoxious, in that if you walked by his booth, he would literally put his book in your hands and he'd say, "You're going to love it." And he'd go off about how great it was. And it was kind of disheartening because I could tell by looking at it, it was not a good book, didn't have good cover art. It was like a fantasy novel about fairies or something, just not my cup of tea. And yet at this convention, I saw tons of people with that book in their hands. They had obviously bought it. And I was like, were these all like pity purchases? Did he force them all into buying these books? Because I'm too proud to do that. I just make conversation with people. I don't even talk to people sometimes when they come up to a booth, because like they just want to look. They don't want to talk to you. They want to look at your book. So I let them. And then I talk to them when it seems like they're ready or they're interested, not interested. But I mean, talk about it. Obnoxious. It's like it works, but I wouldn't say it's right. And this guy had like an agent with him who was kind of coaching him. And I was just curious what your take is on, like, because you just said you're a very private person. I don't think you'd go for that. But like obnoxious in-person sales, what would you say to that?
It takes all kinds to market.
That's a nice way to say it.
All kinds of marketing out there. Yeah. There's all kinds of ways to get people to buy. There are people who thrive on negativity. There are people who thrive on conflict, you know. Mm-hmm. So if you're that person, you're going to draw those people to you. This is the way it is. And yeah. We all have our tribe. So I'm not going to, you know, say a negative about, you know, rudeness. Yeah. What I try to coach my authors is smile. I just had one. It's Brian. He's coming to you guys as well.
Yes.
He's at a Comic-Con right now. Or not a Comic-Con, but he's at a con right now. And I told him I wanted a photo. And I wanted it to be approachable. I want people to like you, you know. So this is you putting, you know, on your best show. And he has a hard time with smiling. He's a very nice, lovable guy, you know, but he just has a hard time putting on a smile. So he got me a half smile, and it's a doable photograph.
Yeah.
But I try to encourage my authors to be somebody that their readers want to know and wouldn't mind, you know, having coffee with, you know, not that you would, but, you know, I want to develop that kind of warmth in my authors. And of course, not all authors are able to do that. You know, they are who they are, you know. So we have to find what their qualities are and then within their comfort zone, get them to polish that and pull that out. Because that one thing, even if they're not the most sociable person in the world, that one thing that we can pull out about them might be the hook that readers need. So I like my readers to get to know my authors.
A very diplomatic answer all around, too. Very graceful, diplomatic. So.
All right. Excellent. Well, we're going to call this session. We have you back on the show Thursday, so folks, be paying attention to that. Susan, give us your socials on the way out and any last comments that you have for this episode.
Well, right now I'm going to, I'm Susan Catt on Facebook. It's Susan.Catt1 on Facebook, and Oracle Book Art and PA Services LLC. That's Facebook, Oracle Book Art. And so I have those two right now. I just took my website down because I wasn't real happy with it. And I'll be revamping it. And I'm completely revamping my business structure. So I wanted to take it down while, you know, I got that part finished. But yeah, that's how you'd reach me, or oraclebookart@yahoo.com.
Excellent. Folks, I will leave links in the description of this podcast as always. And if you are watching this on YouTube, they will be down there as well. Susan, it has been an absolute pleasure talking with you today. Thank you for showing up.
Thank you for having me. This has been a lot of fun.
And we have you scheduled on Thursday for a part two of this. We'll pick up the conversation there, folks. In the meantime, a little bit of house cleaning and news. We have our Twitch live stream coming. I know I've been teasing that for a while. Y'all, as regular listeners would know, I teased YouTube for a while, but we did get there. John, we are now at the point where it's just setting up cameras and testing tech, I believe.
Yeah.
We have we're coming up on the end of season one, and we will be launching season two sometime, I don't know, John, we're thinking end of July, maybe August, going into the latter half of the year. We have some authors that are still in the queue that we will be releasing before the end of season one, and then we'll be starting season two. So be prepared, folks, for a small break, but in the meantime, we are going to be looking to produce additional content that is not of the podcast form.
I was going to say, yeah, and during the break, be sure and share us with your friends so over the summer they can get kind of caught up on Plot Bit. Not that there's continuity with us or anything, but they can get a feel for the show. So that way when season two launches, they can start fresh with everyone else, you know, see who likes it.
So, John, I don't think we have any other. Oh, there is one. We're working on a short film, folks. So we're hoping that will be out in July.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. So that will be the first of many. We don't know what our schedule is going to be like after this first one and at what cadence, but we do have other projects in mind. So for now, folks, you can catch us out on Twitter, Instagram, Reddit. Most of these platforms, we are just got our account started. Our most active platform is Discord. You can join our Discord server and Twitter. Those are the two places that we are most responsive. And then, of course, you can catch us at plotpit.com. And also on YouTube at Plot Pit. John, for now, I do believe that's it.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Susan, again, thank you for your time today, and we will catch you on Thursday.
All right. Thank you for having me, and I'm looking forward to it.
Excellent. For now, folks, goodbye from Roswell.